Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCon podcast where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. Cole Spivey here as always with Will Fleming. Will, you want to say what's up to the people?
What's up? What's up?
This week, man, we've got he's Will's favorite player in the conference, arguably the best player in the conference, arguably the best player in the country, Jake Stevens. Jake, you want to say what's up to the people?
What's going on, man? Appreciate y'all for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
This guy is the real deal. I went back and listened to our last interview with Jake. You know, this is kind of a reoccurring guest now. Will's favorite. In our last interview, you had told us, you know, we were kind of talking about going from VMI to Chattanooga, and you said it kind of felt weird to be playing in that Power C in the UTC blue. You look damn good doing it now. How long did it take you to adjust to, you know, the area, the campus, and everything?
It's a pretty quick process. You know, you get down here beginning of June and just kind of start, you know, going through the process, you know, meeting the guys, you know, start practicing, all that good stuff. So it goes pretty quick. I've been pretty fortunate this year, just been able to just kind of lock in on basketball. I mean, I don't get out too much, but, you know, if I do, I'm going to a good restaurant. There's plenty of them. So, no, it's been good. I'm loving it. It's been a great change for me.
Jake, talking about how comfortable you're feeling right now. So I know you hate this. Let's just talk about what's been going on recently. Four straight Player of the Week award. All right.
Oh, boy.
Last week alone, you averaged 28 points, 15.5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4.5 blocks per game. You were 6 of 9 from three, 19 of 31 from the floor. So you joined Zach Edey, the Giants from Purdue, as the only players averaging 20 points per game and 10 rebounds per game in the nation. You're the only D1 basketball player averaging 20, 10, and 2.5 blocks per game. Would you consider this the best ball you've played in your life?
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty easy to say, but I mean, I like to go back to, funny enough, at Chat last year, and I end up rolling my ankle, kind of messes with the end of the season. But like going into that game, I felt like I was just getting started. I had 39 against Samford, started rolling, had a couple early buckets against Chat before I got hurt. And like, I really felt like I was, you know, coming on then. So it's cool to kind of see that carry over, because, you know, that's something you're always worried about in the off season. Like, hey, can I reproduce that? Can I make that happen again? But I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to make that happen. So,
yeah, you want to talk a little bit about, you know, Will just mentioned how you're the only player in this kind of conversation in the country currently active. Fifth straight player of the week, or fifth player of the week of the award overall, 10th of your career. The only guys that they can say that about are you and, what, 3-time NBA champion Steph Curry, unanimous MVP. How does it feel to be in a conversation with that guy?
I mean, it's cool, but at the end of the day, you can point to a stat about anybody and say, you know, this is the only person to average 11.2 points a game with 3.1 rebounds. And, like, there's going to be some comparison with somebody. So, you know, it's an honor. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, we're trying to win basketball games. And, you know, we lost a tough one Sunday, and we got another chance to do that Wednesday. So, you know, that's kind of all I try to focus on.
And, Jake, I think that says a lot about you. I saw your tweet after the game. That was – one of the better big games of basketball I've seen this year. I mean, Keyshawn, the guy over at Keyshawn, I think, over at Belmont, just kind of went crazy in overtime. Y'all both went kind of back and forth. It seemed like that was the best crowd of the year y'all have gotten down at Chattanooga. Do you have any going into conference play? Do you have any goals this year besides obviously going to the championship? Do you have anyone you want to sweep besides everyone, right? But any serious goals y'all have as a team?
I mean, as a team, we're just trying to play the best ball we can, really. I mean, we're a brand new team. You know, not many guys have played with each other. We're just trying to, you know, figure things out. I think the biggest goal for me right now is just to kind of limit turnovers, kind of been creeping up on me a little bit. That's something me and Coach Earl and the coaching staff have been looking at and ways you can limit those. So, I mean, that's kind of my big goal. As far as the team goes, like you said, I mean, we want to get to the Southern Conference Championship and have a little repeat for Chat. Not for me. I don't take any credit for that, but yeah, so that's the goal for us.
When you got to Chattanooga, did you feel any pressure about trying to fill in the big shoes that they kind of left last year?
I mean, there's always pressure with that. Like, they're a great team. The fan base is expecting us to do really big things. But, I felt in the preseason, I felt like I was feeling more pressure than now or at any other time. Like, I don't know what it was, but I was just pressing too much, trying a little too hard. And that kind of showed. If thankfully, I don't think any scrimmage film gets out there, but if we had the scrimmage film, it would look like a totally different player. But, just kind of learning to calm down and just, really not worry about anything but basketball has kind of been the big key.
Talking about some of those other new guys at Chattanooga, Dalvin White is another guy that came in with you from the portal. I got to see him play in person at Upstate. The guy is legit. He's shooting north of 40 from three this year, and he's second in the nation in assist to turnover ratio. What is it like to play with a guard like that?
Dalvin's awesome, man. He's such a, which is crazy. Like, he's a reliable 3-point shooter. As a point guard, it's like kick it out to him, and more likely than not, it's going to go in. But yeah, you said it. His assist turnover ratio is crazy. I'm very jealous of him. I wish I had that the same problem as he does, because he just can't get any turnovers. But no, he's killing it. He's done a really good job for us, and I think we're all just going to keep getting better as we kind of figure each other out. When to cut, when to come get the ball, all this crazy stuff. So he's done a great job of it, and that's credit to him. And it's awesome because he's had that, for most of his career. It's not just this year. It's like he's always been taking care of the ball and finding open teammates. So it's fun to play with a guy that's always going to find you.
For sure. And Jake, going on just to kind of game day life at UTC, talk about the life, day in the life of a game day, especially with class. And talk about the differences between there and VMI last year.
So, like a typical game day, like a typical 7 o'clock game, it's 9, 10 o'clock shoot around, and then about 3, 3:15 meal. And other than that, it's kind of chill, rest, sleep in, kind of do your own thing, get your own lunch, whatever you want to do. At VMI, it was a lot different. Like, you have class all morning, maybe squeeze in a shoot around if not everybody on the team is busy. Maybe it's just come down and we'll walk through out of bounds plays. And then you have pregame meal, and you can kind of get a little rest after that. But I like to get shots up, about 2 hours before the game. So, yeah, I try to keep a lot of stuff the same, but there's definitely more downtime. I'm off my feet more. I have some online classes now, so that helps too. So a lot of good differences that have helped me.
Do you think you kind of notice you can rest your body a little bit more?
Yeah, I that's one of the biggest things. I just feel like even after the game Sunday, like I played 40 plus minutes or whatever, and I felt like the next day I was ready to go. I got proper sleep, getting good meals in me, all this good stuff. So it's definitely a benefit. But VMI is a very special place, and I would not change my 4 years there at all. I would do it again if I could. So.
For sure.
Yeah, but speaking of your time at VMI, kind of let's look at your growth of a player, man. Last time on the pod, you mentioned it was between VMI and a D2 school where your brother played at Shepherd. And now, you're in a fifth year, which, you mentioned or would mention, I assume that it's unthinkable at the time to get the opportunity to do this. Just talk of, did you ever imagine that you would be in this situation?
No, absolutely not. And it's something that me and my brother have talked about a good amount. Like, just in one phone call with, Coach Earl calling me and his coach calling him, like, hey, COVID pandemic season's kind of going to be crazy. This year's not going to count. You're going to get a fifth year. It's like, just one phone call can change your life, because without that, I'm not here. I'm, probably trying to play pro ball somewhere. I don't know. And now, look, just all the stuff I've been able to accomplish this year, all because of a crazy pandemic. So it's weird how things work out, but I'm very blessed and fortunate to have things the way they are.
Yeah, and then kind of looking at, your growth like literally on the court. You mentioned last podcast that you were getting up 1,000 shots a day at VMI. You were getting an extra workout in the morning. Did you kind of, are you still getting the opportunity to do that at Chattanooga? Do you think that's what's kind of made you the player of the year almost now?
Yeah, it's, I mean, a lot of the same stuff. I have a kind of a routine, and I just stick to it. And that kind of, I feel like, I don't know, it keeps me grounded, every day, regardless of, hey, you had a bad game, you had a good game, you won, you lost, whatever. I'm coming in the next day, I'm doing the same routine. And it just helps me kind of flow throughout the week and just keep things moving along and kind of keeps my head in a good spot. So I've kind of found that that routine that works for me, and I'll probably be doing it at the next level, wherever it may be. So.
Yeah, and one more thing you mentioned, on that last podcast, we asked when you felt like you realized you belonged, and you kind of said it was the start of conference play last year where you realized, like, oh man, I'm one of the best players in this league. If you felt
Yeah.
like you belonged then, you were good then. Do you feel like you're at that level of almost greatness now with what you're doing now on the court?
I mean, I'll leave that up to you guys to talk about, but I mean, it's one of those things where, it's there's nights where the ball's going in and you think, hey, give me the ball and no one can stop me. But I mean, I've definitely had nights that go the other way where it's like, man, can't be over soon enough. I'm can't hit the rim. So it goes both ways, but I try to tell myself like, hey, you belong out here, you're a really good player, you can do this. And I kind of it's all in the positive self-talk. If you get into and all that stuff, it's what you're telling yourself. And I try to pick myself up more than I put myself down. So
I think you do a great job with that, Jake, especially the past week. I mean, you have, I feel like, been the glue for this team, not just this past week, but the whole entire season. You started off kind of rocky, like, not that anybody expected. I didn't expect it. I've been kind of a closet chat fan this year, as you could tell. What's that
my
sense of
God.
fire and desire that y'all have to win the conference this year? It's a different team, but you're going into a winning program, even with mostly a new staff, new roster. What's that sense of fire that y'all have?
Yeah, I mean, we before the year we do a big meeting where it's like kind of getting to know everybody and everybody's goals for the year. And I mean, sure enough, the one overarching goal that every single person put down on their paper was win the Southern Conference Championship. And that was, week one. We didn't know anybody. No one had told anybody to say that. And it's like that's just what everybody wants to do. Everybody's dreamed of doing it since they were a kid. So it's pretty easy to kind of do that when everybody has the same goal and everybody wants to be on the same page. So, we're fortunate that this coaching staff really just recruits great guys and just has high character people, and they're fun to be around. So it's easy to go out there and battle for each other.
Yeah, we kind of want to do a, an imagine this with you.
Uh-oh.
It's Championship Monday in Asheville. The final buzzer sounds. The blue and yellow confetti is falling down. They're roping off the court. They're coming out with the ticket punched. It's got the power C on there. You've been named Player of the Year, tournament MOP. What does it feel like? What is that emotion for you?
I don't know. I might have to go back and ask Malachi Smith. He did it first, man. He did it first. He's the man. I don't know. I'm just trying to live up to those goals that they set, and just be the best player that I can be. If that's where we get to at the end of the year, it's gonna be awesome. And I'll probably be speechless when that time comes, which is kind of hard to do. But no, I'm thankful to be in this situation. And I we have a lot of guys on this team that won that last year, and I'm trying to take things from them just as much as they're taking things from me. Like, they're the program that won it last year. They're the program that went to the NCAA tournament. So, I'm trying to learn from them just like they're trying to learn from me with offense and different intricacies like that.
Being a veteran player like you are, do you feel like you're kind of the leader of this team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's when you come in the summer, we pretty much find out right away who's gonna be the one talking, who's gonna be the one talking a lot. And it's kind of boiled down to, Dalvin has a great voice. He's played a lot of college basketball. Jamal Johnson, AJ Leeds, and not everybody in the same way, but those kind of older guys tend to bring the energy in practice, and they've been through it before. They've been through the road trip. So, those guys always, kind of step up and lead things. But as far as I go, it's just, trying to get the guys, bring positive energy every day. So
Jake, was there anything that changed after y'all's rocky start this year?
I mean, not really. We just kind of knew we had to stay the course. I mean, we started out the year with a tough game at Charleston, and then a tough game at home versus Lipscomb, and obviously Ole Miss in there. Like, they're all very, very good teams. So it's just staying the course and believing in the system that we have, believing in the guys that we have. So we kind of try to preach that and just allow guys to stay the course and trust that we're making the right decisions.
And one last question for me. You know, Dan Earl gets to Chattanooga. You guys play a certain style at VMI. What are the similarities and differences between your two games at VMI and Chattanooga this year?
Well, I mean, not to give too much away, but
yeah,
we do a lot of similar stuff. A lot of similar stuff. Obviously, this year we're trying to get me the ball, which has been, probably the biggest difference. Last year was just like when the ball hit my hands, like that's when we start. There was, I don't know, it was different. Like we were never just directly just throwing it to me and saying, go score. Like things changed a little bit in that aspect. But, we do a lot of similarities, but we have a lot of different pieces. We have a lot of good size on the team, a lot of good length, and they, can allow us to do some different things defensively. So we mix it up a little bit, but, we're still going to be that team that shoots a lot of threes and plays this weird, matchup defense that kind of throws people off their game. So,
hey, Cole, I don't know about you, but I was never that guy where they said, give him the ball. That must feel so freaking cool.
Dude, I was lucky if the ball touched my hands anytime I kind of talking about, guys that made that journey with you from VMI to UTC, Honor Huff, I'm sure you don't want to give too much away of his game either, but what has it been like to, see him have that redshirt year and watch him grow as a player, not on the court?
Yeah, I think you said it best, Cole, like, the SoCon should be worried, man, because he's been locked in, and that's credit to him, because that's not an easy thing to do. If I was him, like, I'm looking at, okay, now I have a year plus of not playing basketball, like, what am I going to do? But he's been locked in, working out, multiple times a day, getting lifts in, so he's going to be dangerous next year. And I tell you, he's not fun on the scout team when he comes in there and he's playing a shooter or something. It's not fun going against Honor, but no, he's done a great job just keeping a positive attitude and just coming to work every day.
Yeah. And if you want to talk also about, you mentioned the last time we had an interview that, when you were a freshman at VMI, I remember you said that sometimes you got in trouble with your senior captain on the team that you had to go into kind of like the meeting with the staff there at VMI. Talk about your growth as a person and not just as a player.
Yeah.
Come from an 18-year-old to now?
I mean, as a, when I get to VMI, I'm kind of like this goofy kid. It's like 6'8", doesn't really know where he belongs, doesn't really know, much about the world. I've been fortunate to live right next to my high school. My brothers went there, kind of had this path for me my whole life. My mom and dad are awesome. They take care of me. So I get to VMI kind of on my own, and people are kind of looking at you like, hey, who's this goofy kid? Like, what's he about? And they're going to push you, and you're going to find out, how much you can handle and how tough you really are. And at the end of the day, that was the biggest thing for me, and it allowed me to just become a better person, a better human, and a lot tougher on the basketball court. And another thing you develop is time management. There's a ton of things you have to do there throughout the day, and now looking at the other side of it, like I can plan my day and schedule different things and still have free time. And it'll never come close to being as busy as I was there. So if you can make a positive attitude and have a good time at VMI, you can do it anywhere. So.
Something else you'd mentioned, that first interview was your favorite moment on a basketball court was your state tournament in high school. In West Virginia, you said the top eight teams came together in kind of like a tournament style.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a short amount of time since then on the court for you, but has it changed? I mean, you've put up some crazy numbers since then.
probably not yet, man. That was pretty special. That's, in front of the home state, got a lot of fans in the stands, and it was pretty electric. I mean, I've had some very memorable moments already this year, but I don't know. It might take a tournament run to knock that off.
Jake, you're from Bunker Hill, West Virginia, right? It's kind of towards the northern part of West Virginia,
yep.
Right? So did you find yourself playing a lot of talent from Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania growing up?
Yeah.
I know that we both have a mutual friend in Bryce Golden. Did you play a lot of big talent growing up? Being 6'8", I mean, that's not a common thing to see in the high school game. Kind of talk about who you played against and where you were playing at.
It's funny because I've seen a lot of people saying, well, he was smaller growing up, or he was, 6'6" in middle school, six whatever, and like he was playing guard. Like, no, I'm from West Virginia. If you're above 6'5", you're in the post, man. Like, I'm playing. It didn't matter. I was always gonna be a post player. So, I mean, I play a lot of good talent from Virginia. We used to travel to Pittsburgh a lot. I played a lot of tournaments in like Myrtle Beach area. So, I mean, we used to, my travel team, we did a good job of getting out and about. But yeah, I got to play with Bryce and Grant Golden. They're doing big things now. Grant's in the G League, and Bryce is at Loyola Chicago. So got to play with them a lot and travel around. It's just see a lot of really cool things, play a lot of really good players, and I'm thankful that I was had that opportunity.
Absolutely. And let's kind of bring it back to the school aspect, because you're a student athlete first, right? So you got your bachelor's in computer science at VMI, correct?
Yep.
Right. So I mean, this guy's a genius. You're getting your
No,
MBA
not
currently.
even far from it, dude.
This guy's getting his MBA currently. Does grad school feel easier than the total grind that you had at VMI?
I'm not sure I would say easier. It's definitely a switch up, a pleasant switch up from computer science. Like that was, computer science was a, it was a long 4 years, man. A lot of help from partners and group projects. But no, it's a pleasant switch up. But I'm not sure I'd say easier. It's been a different challenge. So, you kind of find more discussion boards and different things like that now. So it all has its own challenges.
Yeah, and if you kind of, you've already done the part of the student part, right? You've got the degree to fall back on. But before, you fall back on that degree, what are your kind of basketball career goals? Obviously you're going to have one after college.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play ball as long as I can. I pretty much tell everybody, like, if I would play an NBA, I would play in the rec center on Wednesday nights in a men's league, if that's what it was. Like, I would play anywhere, just because I love the game. I want to be around it. And I can't imagine not having basketball as part of my life. So, I think even when the ball does stop bouncing, whenever that is, I probably get into coaching in some aspect, be player development coach or something like that, kind of. Hopefully make it to the NBA that way, but I just can't imagine a world where Jake Stevens is not involved in basketball. So hopefully we can keep it going.
I think speaking for those guys, hopefully it's not the Wednesday night situation and it's some type of level of professional, because that might not be fair.
That would be good, man. I'm telling you, pull up. You'd be like, who's this cat? 7 footer.
Man, if I played against you in church league basketball, I'd walk off the court. Jake, again, going back to Chattanooga, you're the big man on campus, literally and figuratively. Have you felt any different walking through campus? They list you as 7 feet tall, 275. You're a
Yeah.
big dude, right? Have you felt any different? Do you get any different looks on now that you're newer on campus?
I mean, at first, I think people were just like, who's that kid? Like, didn't really know much about me. But, now that basketball season started, my name's out there a little more. Definitely had some people kind of stop me talking, which has always been kind of a pleasant thing with being tall, is people are always going to come up to you and talk to you. So, it's been cool. It's been cool, different scenery, a lot of different people, and just trying to, meet many people and, connect, because you never know when you might need someone's help. So.
Great.
Now, if there was like one thing you would tell yourself, when you were a senior in high school, kind of looking at the D2 or the D1 options, what kind of advice would you give yourself?
Man, this is a good question. I always ask my guests this one on the pod, so I'm not prepared for it myself, I guess. I think I'll just say, like, you're gonna do big things, kid. Like, keep your head up, keep going. You're gonna make your family proud one day. So I think that's the biggest thing. And a little kid from West Virginia, never would have thought I'd be here, but I'm certainly thankful and blessed to be here.
Yeah, and you mentioned that. Do you kind of want to take this as an opportunity, plug your pod, tell people where to find
Let's
you?
go. Yeah, man. Go catch me. I got my own podcast. You can find me at Catching Fire. I'm on pretty much all podcast platforms. Recently we were kind of looking at things, and we're like, what can we do to grow? And they always talk about, starting like beef sells. So we didn't want to beef with you guys. So I think we're going to try to beef with Drew Timmy. He's got a podcast. He's got a podcast. So that's my new podcast beef is Drew Timmy.
Do you mind if we join you in the beef?
Come on, hop in.
I think that that could be a potential, you know, second, third round NCAA tournament matchup
Hey
that
man,
would be bananas.
drama sells.
Drama sells. Yeah, kind of wrapping it up here, Will. Do you have anything else to add?
Man, I'm just gonna say I'm super pumped to watch you play in conference play. I'm obviously, hey, I'll say self-proclaimed second or third biggest Jake Stevens fans. I know your
There we
parents and your
go.
family love you. I consider myself family now. You're now a recurring guest. You're a good friend of the podcast. I hate Drew Timmy now. I'm looking forward to see what we can
Okay.
do towards
I
towards the end of the season. Man, super
appreciate you
pumped for you
guys.
though, and we appreciate you being on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all, man.
Jake, anything you want to plug besides the podcast? Any ideals you're trying to get? Somebody you want them to sign you?
Nah, man. Nah, I appreciate you guys for having me on, and you know, keep it up. It's good. Good thing for the Southern Conference, getting our name out there a little bit.